Today is Wednesday, December 5th, and we're here at the Level 1 News to tell you about things hopefully you don't already know about.
Business news, a little bit of social, and just a touch of science. I like when we have science stories.
Yeah, I do
usually
too.
Usually we don't have, they're not great science stories.
It's almost like science takes time to develop.
Well,
it's not something you have a weekly story about.
I don't like to go for the really obscure ones, you know. They got to be somewhat normie to put them in there.
Normie science.
Yeah. But first, let's talk about something that everybody can agree on, which is that Comcast is terrible.
Ars Technica has this article, Comcast raises cable TV bills again, even if you're under contract. Comcast is really quick to point out that, hey, the broadcast TV fees are technically not under contract, and we can raise those whenever we damn well please, so we are.
But this, we talked last week, I think it was last week, about the lawsuit, because these are the fees that they don't list when they tell you the price of your service. These are the sports fees and the broadcast TV fees. So they're technically like, you know, industry fees, right? And it's kind of like when you buy a car and it's like, oh, hang on, there's a dealer fee and a destination fee and taxes. And taxes on cars are a lot of money, but we don't tell you about that in the price of the car.
So expensive.
Yeah, so
it's like $5 the bill's going up, which is a lot.
Yeah. And again, if your bill is $30 a month, Comcast is saying, no, no, your bill is still $30 a month plus 10.
But that's 40. No.
But we don't talk 30. About that 10, and we never have. So why should we talk about it now?
Now, remember, right? The FCC has said that these are not really things that they have to charge. They just are.
Well, I think the sport one, this is actually different per
franchise market.
Per market, because you might not have as many sports in your market. But again, it's their choice to broadcast those sports. They make the deals with the sporting leagues. So passing that on to the customer is, yeah, like you say, they're choosing to do it and they don't have to, but they're always going to pass it along to you. And there's nothing you can do about it because they're a monopoly. And you know who else could be accused of monopolistic practices is Intel. But Intel, there's a bit of a sleeper who's sneaking up on them.
So it's Bloomberg. So you know it's in Bloomberg. The normies are getting clued in. Technology section. Taiwan's TSMC could be about to dethrone Intel. Now, TSMC is making stuff for AMD. They're making 7-nanometer stuff. They're killing it in terms of the fabrication. Meanwhile, Intel struggles with its 10-nanometer process. TSMC's 7-nanometer process, roughly equivalent. And it looks like they're poised to do 7-nanometer fabrication in massive quantities in the coming year, which is ahead of Intel. Like, Intel just can't play the, oh, we're really close game anymore. We'll be lucky if Intel sees 7-nanometer production in volume in 2019.
And also, AMD is all TSMC.
Not so all. It's GlobalFoundries.
Well, the competitor, though, doesn't do their own fab.
Yeah.
So as close as AMD is getting, that's just more business for these guys. But the real reason these guys are winning has nothing to do with nanometers. It has to do with Qualcomm, mobile chips. Intel doesn't do mobile chips.
Yeah,
TSMC does. And they're making a killing. And so when it says dethrone, we're talking about, total volume of chips and revenue.
Well, it helps that they have the best process, too. I mean, everybody on a mobile phone, if anything, the impetus to move to better processes on mobile devices is greater than on desktop computers because mobile phones can get by with using less power for more stuff. That means you get more power for the screen and the antenna, which makes for a better mobile computing experience anyway.
Well, if you live here in the land of the free, you just experienced some Cyber Monday and Black Friday. And I think the forecasts were that things might be a little tepid. You know, the millennials, of course, they're destroying everything that's good. It has to do with capitalism. Why not this? But it turns out sales did very well this year.
Yeah, Cyber Monday is set to break online sales records as more and more people realize they don't actually have to murder one another over a $300 TV when they can just get it directly from Jeff Bezos.
But let's face it, that's part of the joy.
That's part of the American experience.
It's kind of a sport at this point.
Can you imagine when the food shortages come? Like, if we're getting this over a TV, what it's going to be like when there are food shortages?
Have you seen Venezuela?
Venezuela is probably more civilized than those people buying TVs. I mean,
now here's the thing.
I don't know.
All week, I have been looking at the deals and finding some really amazing pet and camping related products and sending them to Krista. She just shoots them all down.
I had one of the items, the inflatable kayak.
But it was like 60% off.
Yeah, I bought it for that off season last year.
See, this is what I've been dealing with all week.
I bought it already. I already own it. It's in my house right
some
now.
Some great brew related products. Some fantastic looking tents.
I already have a tent. I gave it 5 stars.
Krista, you're too intense.
I wouldn't mind having like a backpacking tent because mine currently is more of a car camping tent, but.
Of course.
Yeah. My current one's too heavy to carry in a backpack.
You need one of those mud sleds. Then you can carry a lot more equipment.
I think those kind of sleds are made for like more flat areas around here. The sled would not work on most of those trails. Snow or no.
I'm going to the natural bridge. I've been pulled off the side.
Yeah. I'm dead now. I fell down a ravine.
Yeah, you get like snagged on a root or something.
Well, yeah, and it's just rocky and bumpy. It would not be a good experience.
Well, yesterday we talked about Jeff Bezos and whether or not he was the biggest danger of supervillainry or it was Elon Musk. And this one might be another check mark in the Bezos as a supervillain column.
The TechSpot article says Amazon will sell software that mines medical records to improve healthcare. What you don't see is an invisible bracket there and an apostrophe S and the words profit margin.
Yeah. So they're kind of selling this as
big pharma.
We're going to mine your medical data to make you healthier. But
and also lower costs.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense, does it? So.
Or to sell you stuff on Amazon related to your condition.
It's going
to
be, yeah, it's going to be more about, hey, we're the AI is 90% sure that you have high blood pressure. You should probably come in and let us make sure of that. We got some great drugs for you. So they claim that it's going to be anonymized. But of course, TechSpot points out that like they have so much other data. How hard is it to correlate?
We've seen that. There have been academic studies on that, and the answer is not hard at all.
And they're not going to use your data to teach the machine learning. So somehow that makes it better. But probably Amazon is going to know a lot more about you, and even things that you don't know about yourself pretty soon. So looking forward to that. And speaking of privacy,
or lack thereof, this article from The Intercept, if you only read one article this week, this is the one you should read because it's kind of long and it's pretty well researched. Google shut out privacy and security teams from the Secret China Project. This is, of course, talking about Dragonfly. We've talked about it before. But the old, you know, the saying sunlight is the best disinfectant comes out here, too. I mean, it's going to be a popular theme this week, I think, because Google had clearly knew what they were doing. Most of their employees would not agree with because they took steps to shield what they were doing from many, many teams. And normally a product like this would have a lot of involvement from across the company, and executives took special care to make sure that as few people as possible were involved in the project.
Chris, what do you think about this logo?
I actually think this is kind of a cool graphic.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right? It's got a nice... See this nice drop shadow?
Yeah, it's making it look like 3D. It's behind it, like there's a yellow piece of paper over the print.
That's really nice.
The Intercept always has good stuff.
Like, they do. They have a nice design. Yeah. I like The Intercept.
So yeah, it turns out in the early days, the privacy people were invited to the meetings. And as they've been hired to do, one of them raised his hand and he was like, is this not like horribly
Orwellian?
Privacy invading and dystopian? And they were like, let's talk about that at a future meeting. And then he was never invited back.
Just, hey, you know who that's happened to?
It's funny because that has actually happened to Krista.
Hey, I need you to come in here and give your input about this design. Gives input. You can't come back.
Yeah, it's like, remember when the client said this, this, and this? And they're like, no, we want to, no.
We're just going to shut you out and pretend that that never happened.
But it also shows that They knew this would be a huge problem. They knew if anybody found out about this, that there would the backlash that has happened would happen. And so they did everything they could to hide it as long as they could.
There went our monetization. I heard it. I heard the click.
Oh, I was like, it's been really windy. So I was like, did something go wrong.
I keep thinking there's people in the dumpster.
Oh, yeah. It's just the wind.
That's just the sound of the monetization. We have a Patreon and also the store. The store's got stuff on sale.
There's one guy that bashes you every week for mentioning the Patreon.
Oh, yeah. We do have one. The store's got a sale going on right now.
Yeah.
Holiday.
Like, if you're international and you don't like the shipping costs, now's probably the time to buy from the store because it's real.
It'll be running through New Year's.
It's like 20% off orders over $100, I think.
There's two variations.
Yeah, so you should check that out. And we thank you for the people that already have.
Last week, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, we talked about the multi-factor hardware authentication that Microsoft was rolling out.
And good job, Microsoft.
That's a great thing. You know, it's better that passwords obviously aren't secure. You can't lose your hardware key to the dark web, so that's nice. But one of the things about that is that the authentication server has to function
24/7. And ZDNet has this article, Microsoft's multi-factor authentication service goes down for the second week in a row. Microsoft's Azure Active Directory multi-factor authentication service outage is causing problems for a number of Office 365 users. I think the first one was global and the second one was US only, but this is not acceptable. And I think somebody had blamed Windows Update for this, and I don't know if they were doing that jokingly or if that was serious, but the multi-factor authentication service cannot go down if you depend on it for authentication. That's just insane.
Well, here's a blast from the past. Superfish. Does everybody remember Superfish? Well, how long ago was that?
It's been years.
That's been a long time
2014.
Ago. And we're just now getting to the end. And boy, did they have to pay a fine.
Not really, though. So Superfish came on Lenovo laptops. And the Softpedia headline is, Lenovo has been ordered to pay $7.3 million in settlement for installing adware on 800,000 notebooks. This seems like a drop in the bucket. So Lenovo and Superfish hatched this plan to install a root encryption certificate on your laptop, meaning that this company could sign certificates from like Google or IBM or Microsoft or anybody, and it would appear as if it was legit on your computer because of this. And so the article says that it's always in the background running and scanning stuff, but really, that's probably true. What it was doing was looking through your encrypted internet traffic. So the Superfish software could, for example, replace a banner ad that appears on a website with one of its own and make a ton of money. So I don't think $7.3 million is enough for this level of...
Well, let's do a little math.
Egregious abuse.
800,000 notebooks. I would say average between $800 and $1,000, right?
Yeah.
So let's just make the math easy. Let's say $1,000. That's $80 million. And let's say they made 1% of that by selling the data, right?
Yeah.
That's about $8 million. So Lenovo netted $0.7 million.
Yeah, and they probably made a lot more than that. I mean,
yeah, probably. That's not even counting the profit from the notebooks. So
yeah.
Real gentle, more of a caress than a slap on the wrist, I think. Yeah.
A caress of the wrist.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we've been talking about SpaceX and all of the private companies shooting things into space, and they're shooting all these tiny little satellites. So when you get a satellite launched into space, you have to communicate with it, right? How are you going to do that? You don't have a station to communicate with your satellite.
You don't know.
You're just a pleb. But there's good news. Bezos, the corporate overlord, has your back.
Amazon is launching a pay-as-you-go cloud computing in space. This is
finally.
They're launching pay-as-you-go. Ground computing station, which can communicate with your satellite. So you can pay as you go, rent space or rent time to communicate with your satellite in orbit.
Which is pretty cool.
That is kind of cool. I mean, that's good for like student projects and university projects. Like now, you know, a university that launches a satellite, it can do more than just beep on ham radio frequencies.
And it's sort of a timeshare. And they're going to, I think they're going to build 10 of these things. And if it's super popular, they'll just keep building more. So...
Now, I can't figure out why our next story is not in the nonsense section, but we'll roll with it.
Well, it was businessy.
It is a business.
Now, this article is only about the lawsuit, but I figure we'll just cover
everything
we can because there's so much thing to talk about when it comes to Fallout 76.
The Game Informer headline is Bethesda is facing possible class action lawsuit over Fallout 76. Not because it's that bad, but because they're terrible as a company.
Well, this one is about it being buggy.
Yeah, I think it is that bad.
Oh, I thought this one was about the nylon bag.
No, this has nothing to do with the nylon bag. This is just about the fact that Some people can't even log in.
Oh.
And it doesn't deliver on anything that was promised.
No.
And it's unplayable in some cases. It's just really
bad.
Guess
who's been playing it all weekend?
I played it for 3 hours in total this weekend. So how many hours did you have in Parkitect?
Four.
But Parkitect is a much better game.
Yeah, it is. It's way better. I didn't run into any bugs with it so far.
I knew that... especially when I found out she'd never played Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to, you know, like really
I set my park with unlimited money so I could just make it as pretty as I wanted.
Which is lame.
Well, the Fallout 76, I mean, it's not... I've been playing it, and it has a lot of problems. The potential for it to be good is there, but it is, like, the only really way... The best, like, two-line description that I could give you is that it's just a half effort. Literally everything is a half effort.
Well, that's kind of what the argument these guys made, is that it's not worth the money, and it was just very poor shortcuts were taken. Yeah. And of course, that leads into the bag drama, which is false advertising, I think.
Yeah. It was false. They said that it was going to be like a canvas bag, came as part of the collector's edition.
A few streamers, they sent a really nice collection, and it's like this really amazing looking... cloth backpack. It looks like, you know, like an army issue backpack kind of a thing. But the actual $200 bag that you get is nylon. And if you complain, they're like, take $5 in cosmetics in the game as compensation.
500 atoms.
Which is $5. Yeah.
Literally the response, the guy that emailed them was like, hey, this seems like false advertising. What are you going to do about it? And the literal response from Bethesda was, we don't plan to do anything about it.
We don't
What
care.
Are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And so they didn't say that part. But if I went on Amazon as a third-party seller and I listed canvas bags and I sent out nylon bags, I would get crucified.
Yeah, you'd be tanked.
Jeff Bezos will literally dispatch a helicopter full of jackbooted thugs to beat the crap out of you.
And he'd be in a basement lair somewhere under one of the Amazon HQs, and he would just be tasing your balls for hours. Because he's not going to let you sully the name of Amazon, but apparently Bethesda doesn't care. So the internet, of course, is outraged and speaking out against it, but I think they'll still make money.
Does anybody other than Bethesda own any interest in the Fallout intellectual property? Because if they do, they've got one hell of a lawsuit on their hands.
Wasn't there like some sort of pop-up on, I can't remember what site, it might have been the studio that made New Vegas, and it was something that was Fallout themed, and it was like waiting for end of month or something like that.
Hmm. I don't know.
I saw that the other day. I don't know.
Well, they're the only other company that's ever done a Fallout, right? In the recent age. And New Vegas is considered the best one.
Yeah, maybe they're going to try and take over the mess. Not looking good for Elder Scrolls 6.
I really hope some of the non-gamer-centric business people at Bethesda are out. Like, every time I've seen Pete Hines talk, he seems like a good businessman, but he just seems like he does not get the gaming industry in a way that is not exploitative. Like, he gets the gaming industry in terms of, like, oh, people are willing to put up with exactly this much BS so we can extract this much money from them. But people have generally had enough, so his time has gone.
But I think that's every big game company now.
Yeah.
There's nobody who's not getting on board. It's like the Diablo thing.
Yeah.
They know y'all have phones, don't you?
They weren't nearly as surprised by that as they've made out.
Yeah.
They knew what was going to happen, but they also know they're going to make a ton of money.
I think it is a little bit, like, I don't think that they knew that the backlash was going to be that bad, because they were just like, let's take this Chinese pay-to-win game and put some Diablo assets on it and call it a day.
It's going to make money. And we're already not even talking about it. We're talking about Fallout now. You count on somebody screwing up worse than you the next week, and it almost always comes true. So.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, speaking of screwing up, and this one, you know, we talked about Bezos and how powerful he is, but maybe he made a little bit of a mistake here, but I don't think this was a mistake at all. I think this was another one of those planned oops.
The Wall Street Journal has, new parents complain that Amazon baby registry ads are deceptive. Unwanted gifts arrive after friends click on promotions tucked away into wish lists.
I don't know if they show a picture of it here. Oh, read we got a paywall story. But I did see a screenshot of this, and it looks like the damning thing to me. So you do a baby registry, which is stupid, but it's like, oh, look at me.
Makes sense for a firstborn.
I've made a terrible mistake. Give me things for free. And you can go in there. It's like a wedding registry, and you pick things that you want on Amazon, and then people can come in and buy them for you. And you can actually put in a quantity, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, these boxes of diapers, I would like 20 of these instead of just one. And the pretend ads in there have 0 of 1, as if you actually selected them. Like, that's the most damning part.
Some poor UI or dark UI.
Well, I don't think that's a mistake. I mean, how would that be a mistake? But it is right there in your list, but it does have a little tiny promoted under it.
How did Ron Popeil's Juice-O-Matic Juice Tiger get in my wish list? That wasn't something I put there.
A diaper and, genie.
So this lady actually got 2 of something that she didn't want. And when she looked into it, she found this out. And then they talked to the, actually interviewed the woman who bought that one of the things. And she was like, I don't know. I just clicked it. There, it was there. So be careful.
If you're Bezos buying, is brilliant.
Yeah, if you're buying baby registry stuff.
Well, I'm sure it'll happen on wedding registries too. I'm sure it's the same tech. Like,
I'd say every kind of wish list that's public has that.
Yeah. That's also a brilliant way to exploit a situation where, like, you're going to get free stuff. Are you really going to, like, complain that, you know, you got something that wasn't on your registry?
It's kind of tacky to be like, oh, Deborah, great. I didn't even ask for this.
Well, it could be, what if you're having like a girl and then it's all like, it's like boy themed things maybe. Yeah. That's the only way I could see it being kind of.
These were, I think, gender neutral.
Or if it was like, you know, my baby's going to be a preemie and then you get like extra large baby clothes or something. I don't know. I don't know. There's probably a scenario where that would be annoying.
You're going to have a thalidomide baby and you get jumpers with 2 arms and 2 legs.
God, it's just, Amazon doesn't understand me.
Speaking of situations like that, the FTC is going to investigate loot boxes.
Yeah, so I don't know that they're definitely going to.
This guy looks fed up.
One senator pointed out that maybe we should, and then the guy was like, yeah, we're totally going to look into that.
I don't think the FTC is equipped to do this because traditionally they've abdicated this kind of like responsibility with computer stuff to the other agencies.
Well, here's the thing about it that bothers me. I mean, of course, I don't support loot boxes. Who does? Does anybody really love loot boxes?
No.
I have a friend who buys Overwatch loot boxes.
But
it's like, why?
Is the friend you?
No, I don't. No, I have 200 I don't even open.
She doesn't open them. She hoards them.
I don't even care anymore because it's like, whatever, I'm just here to play the game.
But here's the thing about it. The big argument here is children. Got to protect the children. Children can't get a hold of a credit card unless someone gives it to them. So, like, just don't give your kids your credit card. Problem solved.
Or keep your purse hidden away if you're worried they're going to go in there and get it. Like,
the loot boxes thing was kind of a problem with Apple things, though, because of the in-app purchases. Because you could actually make purchases without the credit card. But Apple's added a lot of parental controls since then.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm going to just take you a step further. Don't give your kid an iPhone.
Until they understand what it is that they're doing, that's probably not
even after it. Because if this is, you know, the argument is this is an addiction thing that targets children who are susceptible to that kind of thing. But
they have to learn the repercussions.
But let's understand that children are stupid and, you know, they can fall prey to these horrible things on the internet. You know what else is on the internet? Child abductors. You have to be involved. You can't, this is not, children are not a fire and forget kind of thing. You have to deal with
forget.
Them.
Forget. Just pop it out.
Yeah.
Poop out that baby.
Just like
and
a smart missile. Just, hey, give me that epidural and I'm not even going to look at it again for 18 years. Well, speaking of giant useless holes, Elon Musk.
Gizmodo headline is Elon Musk's boring company cancels the Los Angeles tunnel following lawsuit. So the lawsuit was pretty interesting. There were some people in a like a high-end neighborhood, I think, that were going to have a tunnel way under them. And they complained that, hey, this section of the tunnel is going to be built without an environmental impact study. And Elon Musk arranged with the state of California to be able to do that by doing the project in a piecemeal fashion. And so their lawsuit said, hey, you've got to have a comprehensive environmental study for the whole project instead of just this. And so Elon Musk said, all right, you know what? If you withdraw that claim, we're just going to not build the tunnel underneath you.
And they were like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't disclose all the details of the settlement. I wonder if they might've got a couple of bucks out of him for that.
Maybe.
But they're just going to abandon it, which it seems like if this group won, then he'll never be able to complete this thing.
I think from reading between the lines there, I think in his mind, that the tunnel is going to be so amazing because the first one opens to the public like next week, I think. And I think in Elon Musk's mind, the tunnel is going to be so amazing. And when it opens, those people are going to be begging him to put the tunnel back in their neighborhood.
Except, I mean, who wants the tunnel right under their house?
Nobody. Though? And they're not going to. And these are California hipsters. And there is no way. There's got to be at least 7 different kinds of cancer in that tunnel. And they're not going to have it under their home.
That's what I don't understand about his response. He's like, well, I just won't put the tunnel there. Like, they're losing some sort of privilege by not having a tunnel.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. Yeah, that's why I say that.
It's a little bit insane.
They're going to Dodger Stadium instead, I think.
Krista, remember this is the guy who accused a man of pedophilia.
A literal,
because he didn't like what he said about him.
Because he wouldn't use his... weird sub thing.
That wouldn't have worked in that scenario, and he had no expertise on that cave.
Yeah, I think you know what Wendell's saying is, this is what's in his mind. It might be insane, but this is what's in his mind.
You know, that's the feel-good story of the year. Prepare to see that on every like New Year's broadcast is the cave rescue, the Thai cave rescue.
Oh yeah, we got to do the year-end wrap-up soon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Thai cave rescue. I looked at that up every morning.
Without space robots.
Email. I would, like, check my email, and I'd be like, oh, did they get those boys out? Not yet. Oh, it's raining more? Oh, no. And then they got them all out. Spoiler.
Well, we talk about China and their control over Google and Apple and all of the big tech companies. All the big tech companies bow down to the Chinese government, which is crazy because in most cases they don't to the American government. And that's got to piss off the American government. But Apple is stepping in, putting its foot down in China and saying, hey... you're not allowed to update apps without our permission.
So Apple has reportedly cut 700 apps from the Chinese App Store, at least according to CNET. And these are because the developers updated the apps without getting permission from Apple. So these developers put in some kind of update mechanism inside the app that sidesteps the app update process through the App Store. And Apple is having none of it.
I bet you that gets presented in the court case about the App
Trust.
Store. Yeah, antitrust. It's like, hey, if you don't let us monopolize this, it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a huge risk. But you know what could reduce risk in the CPU field?
Wow.
Tech Republic has RISC-V. The Linux Foundation will partner to promote an open source CPU. Guess what I have here in the building? I have a RISC-V CPU. It's going to be part of an upcoming video. I've been playing with it. The Linux Foundation is firmly behind RISC-V. It's an extensible ISA which aims to unseat ARM in embedded low-power and IoT applications. So the draw here is that it's open. You can have the chip fabricated wherever you want, and there's not as much intellectual property controls as with, you know, ARM and the other stuff. And a lot of it's open. It really is open.
I talk about NVIDIA, one of their hobby chips is going to this thing, right?
Yep.
And several other big makers. People are actually looking into this as an alternative. Of course, it's not going to be a desktop chip anytime soon.
I've gotten desktop Linux to run on it. It's not fast, but it's like 1.7 gigahertz. It's not bad.
But it's not going to penetrate the market, at least not for a while. But it's a cool thing. You know, it's a cool idea. And it's not inherently a Linux CPU or anything. It's just that Linux is sort of partnering with them to be like, okay, let's make sure that there's a version of Linux that always works with this, because we feel the same about things in the world.
I, for one, welcome our RISC-V dishwashers that are running FreeBSD or Linux or
Internet whatever. Of Things would be a great place for that. But you got to, I wonder, would the big, electronics and all the manufacturers, would they go for those?
The bad news is that the big manufacturers are still going to neglect their products that are already released and they're not going to do any updates. But the good news is that at least now the platform will be more standardized so that community support can arise from the ashes of the abandonment of the company.
Well, the hot new trend that is yet to be seen if we will actually adopt it in the TV world, of course, we had 3D TV, didn't work. 4K definitely caught on, but is the world ready for 8K?
Stanley Kubrick's A Space Odyssey is going to help launch the first 8K TV channel. And that's because he insisted on using 70mm film instead of 35mm film when he filmed it. So you could actually get something approaching 8K resolution out of it. And also, My Fair Lady was another one. That was surprising.
8K, that is very surprising.
8K signals, 4 HDMI cables, and that doesn't include sound.
Well, the special satellite uplink box is like another $1,700. The TV's debuted at like over $100,000, and now they're only like $15,000. But you need this funky satellite receiver that's like another $2,000 US, and the four HDMI cables to connect it also don't give you sound.
You have to have another HDMI cable for sound.
So it sounds like it's a really accessible, you know, everyone should get one.
If you're going to pay $15,000 for a TV, what's four, five gold-plated HDMI cables to you? You know, you wipe your ass with that money. So.
That's another $40,000 if we get monster cables.
On to social news. And again, this week, social news is nothing but Facebook, but it's only two stories. So
it's a morsel.
Just, you know, deal with
appetizer.
It.
Appetizer.
Facebook is an important company in the terms of like, sure, we hate them, but actually, you know, we shouldn't say that because here's a little bit of a teaser. Coming up maybe next week is level one hypocrisy news. Not going to say anything more about it. But Facebook, as they've been known to be very left-leaning, and they've been criticized for being left-leaning. But for the second time, it seems like behind the scenes, that might not be true.
Facebook quietly hired Republican strategy firm Targeted Victory. So this is really a little bit more information on a few things that we've already covered. And this article gives you a little bit of context about, you know, what was going on with the whole Cambridge Analytica thing and the whole, like, negotiating thing in terms of like people's data and this kind of thing. This is a GOP linked.
What was the name of the one from last week?
I don't remember.
But it was another.
It was another PR firm,
right? Yeah. Very right wing. It turns out
it was mentioned in here.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it, but anyway, this is just another one that they found, and it seems like it might be a little bit of a veneer. The whole left wing thing, like, because when they need to really find an effective PR firm, they're not at all afraid of going to the other side.
Well, they just want to escape regulation. So it seems like they will, like, it's not left or right wing. It is literally just, we want to do what we would like to do, absent any interference and any kind of consumer protection or anything like that, be damned.
But the left is well known for sort of an anti-corporate stance.
Yeah.
So that's fine in public, but when we need to get away with something, let's go to the people
They're self-hating corporate overlords.
Well, they hate us.
They hate something, and it's mostly
us. But again, we probably shouldn't crap on them too much. But we can talk about something that they've done with all of their partners, and that is they've bargained with a very specific chip that only they have.
So the Washington Post has this article. It's great. The headline is Facebook discussed using people's data as a bargaining chip, emails and court filings suggest. So Facebook has actually been working very hard to try to keep these things under seal and to make sure that these communications logs and these memos and things like that do not end up in the public record. And it literally talks about advertisers spending more than $250,000 a year. Maybe we can make special arrangements with them to supply some user data. And they were also talking about how Facebook was really struggling with mobile ads, and they really needed to do something to entice people who would advertise on mobile to advertise more on mobile, because there's not really a good click-through rate on mobile ads and things like that from the time. And so Facebook was thinking, maybe if we tied individual identity to screen time for the ads, maybe that would be helpful in selling the ads. And so that looks like they're going to sell individual user privacy, but somehow Facebook is arguing that's not what that means. But it's a sort of a developing story.
Was this the one where they redacted the document?
And then
some Ars Technica was just like, wait a minute. All they've done is like put a black background on black text.
Yep.
And they just removed it. So they got all the truth out of this document. And that's easy. That's the smoking gun here is, they were literally negotiating, hey, we've got all this data and you can get access to it or not, whether or not we like you.
That's one of my favorite quotes from this article. It says, the document 6-for-3, that's one of the people involved in this, gathered for this this baseless case are part of the story and are presented in a way that is very misleading without additional context. And I'm not really sure what additional context they can offer that would make this make it seem better.
Put those black bars back. Because in court, they'll be able to properly redact it.
Yeah.
So, because this is like not allowed. But the world's seen it at this point. So it's too late. And now moving on to science news and some good news. Didn't front load the good news because it's in the science section at the end. But how exciting that we now have another robot on the Martian surface.
NASA's InSight successfully lands on Mars after 7 minutes of terror. This is there were two CubeSats in orbit around Mars that were monitoring its descent. And all the math and everything worked out perfectly. It landed on Mars, soft landing. Everything is all systems go, which is exciting. That's like the seventh thing that we've landed on Mars successfully. We're getting pretty good at that.
Can you ask, were there any pictures of it? There were a bunch of pictures going around of like the first things it saw. Yeah, there's one.
Yeah.
Aw. It's everything I ever dreamed Mars would be. A dusty hellhole.
I don't think they have a picture of the robot in this article, no. But
I was thinking of that picture. There's pictures it took when it got there.
It's going to... So this one isn't driving around and exploring as much as Discovery. This one is listening for Mars quakes. Is it because it can't be earthquakes, right? And it's going to drill like, was it 16 miles or 16 feet or something like that? Anyway, it's going to drill down into the surface to try and figure out what Mars is made up underneath.
It's an exciting time.
Wouldn't it blow their minds if it was cheese?
Who isn't...
think it's got a cheese detector?
Who isn't excited that we've landed robots on another
planet?
There's
a lot of people who don't care.
It was pretty popular on Twitter.
You know who doesn't care? Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Even I saw there was a tweet from Doom, like the official Doom Twitter replied to the NASA things like, we're on Mars, finally we can explore. And the Doom thing was like, good luck with that.
Oh, and they're literally drilling.
Yeah.
Could be bad. At least I don't think...
And unleash the demons.
I don't think InSight has thrusters to get it back into orbit. So if the demons come, then
it's probably okay.
We just lose robots.
Well, we have to send Doom Guy.
We don't have him. Who do we have?
Well, you would
we
know.
Got Elon Musk in a robot suit. That's all we got.
Well, we don't have...
The flamethrower.
We don't have hell demons here
we'll
on
work
Earth.
On Mars.
But we do have mosquitoes, which are kind of mini hell demons, right?
Yeah.
But Alphabet, everybody's favorite company, has a plan to get rid of these monsters.
Google's parent has a plan to eliminate mosquitoes worldwide. And so they literally, like, there's no... They just want to get rid of mosquitoes. Bill Gates' company came up with a plan to do this as well. They were going to introduce genetically modified mosquitoes, which prevent other mosquitoes from procreating somehow.
Wasn't that done like in Florida?
Yeah.
I thought they already launched
that thing. His thing was in Africa, wasn't it?
Yeah, his thing was in Africa. But there was an experiment
in
Florida.
Yeah.
This is like a certain kind of mosquito. They're not getting rid of all mosquitoes. So if you're, don't get excited about that. There's a certain kind of like Egyptian mosquito that's an invasive species. And it's only been in California since, I think, 2013.
Wow.
But it's like out-competing all of the regular California mosquitoes. So works almost exactly like Bill Gates' thing. This might be an extra step. These aren't sterile. They actually can have mosquito babies, but they'll never hatch because they got some kind of like fungal infection or something.
Neat.
So they're just blanketing California
in fungus.
They release the fungus to catch the mosquito.
No, they breed the mosquitoes
with the fungus,
and they drive around shooting mosquitoes out of an SUV. And these mosquitoes go and they bang the female mosquitoes,
and then the fungus spreads.
Well, they die. Both of the parents die, and then they never have children.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, and then you get bitten by. Although you can't. I guess you can't. Is it true? I don't know. This might be an urban legend. Is it true that only female mosquitoes bite?
I have heard that, but I don't know if it's true or not. Someone, comment below. I'd have to Google it.
If that's true, then by releasing only males, then they're not even creating more mosquito bites, which is cool.
Yeah. Engagement challenge. All right. We'll see you on Friday for nonsense, robot news, and more nonsense.